Welcome to Blind Bargain's audio coverage of CSUN 2013. Brought to you by
the Journal of Visual Impairment and Blindness is an essential professional resource and the journal of record on issues related to blindness and vision loss. Subscribe now and get immediate access to news from the field, current research and best practice information, and a calendar of events. For more information, go to www.jvib.org.
Now, here's J.J. Meadow.
We are here at CSUN 2013 with Brian McDonald. He is the president of National Braille Press, and we are here to talk about the latest updates, among other things, with the B2G. Brian, welcome back to Blind Bargains.
Thank you, J.J. Good to talk to you again.
Sure. So why don't we give people up to speed, give us a little bit of background for those who might not be familiar with this device, and tell us about the latest with the B2G.
Well, we've been working on it for a while. I think we talked briefly last year, and I think the biggest changes we've been working on was, one, on the circuit board. We increased the processing speed on it because we had an opportunity to do that. We had a camera change that we had to upgrade on because one became obsolete. But I think the most critical and important piece was the Android. You know, as you know, Android hasn't been as accessible as everybody would like in the past with the different versions. Mm-hmm. And we had started this way back at like 2.3, and then we had converted to Ice Cream Sandwich. And obviously when Google came out with Jelly Bean last summer, we said, while there's still things to be done for accessibility there, it's a lot better.
Those are big changes. Yes.
Yeah, they were very important. And we said, we can't release this without Jelly Bean. So our goal is to now convert this one more time from Ice Cream Sandwich to Jelly Bean. So that's what we're working on right now.
Sure. I mean, it's kind of like a never-ending goose chase, though, isn't it? Because you're going to have Key Lime Pie coming out, the next version, summer.
Well, I think we've been working with Google pretty closely, and we feel comfortable now that if we get to this point, upgrades beyond that will be easier to be handled. And you need to at least have 4.0 to get to the play market and work right.
And for those not as familiar with how Android works, 4.1, and Jelly Bean especially, that was a huge change in how accessibility works on the device. It allows you access to a lot of information that you never had access to before,
right?
As far as what's on the screen and things like that.
And in this case, obviously, we don't have a screen that's doing gestures and all that, but we can certainly navigate the same way. And I think
you can simulate, so you'd have like keys to simulate the different gestures that that would have been there. Okay.
And we do have this navigation square in the middle.
Can we just give a description of this device here? So this is. Is this pretty close to how it's going to look in the end now?
Yes, this is actually a real case. It's a prototype case, but the real final design of the layout.
Okay, I'll let you describe it.
I guess the best thing to say, it's almost the same dimensions as a Nexus 7 tablet. Mm-hmm. It's taller. It's about an inch in depth or height. But
the first thing I notice is it's a really minimalist design. It isn't crowded with a lot of extraneous keys on besides the Braille, the 8-dot Braille cell, the space bar, and the navigational D-pad.
Right. No, I agree. We wanted to have a simple design. We didn't want to not just have overcrowding, but have confusion for a user. We thought simple was good. We spent a lot of time on the keyboard. We're really proud of the ergonomics of it and the design of the keys. I think they fit well. We tried to compromise between children and adults and the angle, and
they're rectangular keys that a finger, like at the end of a finger, fits on really well, and they're kind of angled into each other,
right?
A little bit, and then the D-pad is it's a square, kind of a little dot in the middle. That's between the .1 and the .4.
Correct.
And then
it's a little bit of a dome to the enter part in the middle of the square of the D-pad.
Yep. And then it's a nice big space bar going across below that, above the Braille cells.
Right.
And then you have your routing buttons. And then there's a button on either end of the Braille display.
Right. Right.
Or are those for
forward and back? Yeah.
Forward and back. Okay.
Yeah. And this cursor router buttons.
Sure.
You know, it's a MedTech Braille display.
Okay.
So we OEM that. We're not creating our own, you know, actuation of Braille.
Mm-hmm.
We think MedTech's a very good product, very reliable and expensive, but we thought, for durability, it's very good.
Okay. USB on the left.
Yep, regular USB. Mm-hmm. There's also an AV connection for TVIs and people to hook up to a screen.
Which is that?
The middle one there. Yeah.
What type of video out is that?
It's a yellow, regular jack like you'd have with a TV. Yellow, RCA jack.
Yep.
Ear plug on the same side.
Okay.
Towards the front more. The back has a micro USB on the left side mm-hmm. for charging as well as access. There's an SD card slot.
It's a regular SD card slot there, yep. not a micro.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then on the right side and the front is two buttons up and down for volume.
Okay.
And there's a switch towards the back, which is a functional slide switch on off.
Okay.
And then microphone in the front, a couple of speakers.
Do you have two stereo speakers? And then is it, where do you charge this?
The micro USB is the charger.
Oh, okay.
Just
right.
like your cell phone.
So you can charge it from a computer or.
Yeah.
Or plug from it into obviously, wall. Yeah, it charges.
Yeah, any cell phone charger, whatever, yeah. And there is a compartment on the very bottom where you have access to the slide compartment in the bottom middle that mm-hmm. has access to a micro USB. There's also a slot for a phone card because mm-hmm. You can add a GSM or CDMA card in there to make it a phone as well.
Oh, either one, so it would work with any network?
Yeah. And then there's also a SIM card slot in there, of course.
3G connection for the...
You could do... The phone cards could be... Some are 4G, some are 3G. So we're looking at that still right now with the vendors.
Right, to see what's practical.
Right.
Okay. So then the experiences... I know you're still working on this. You're going to have pretty much the stock Android experience. Are you guys going to add additional apps on top of what's here?
Well, two things have happened. Early on, when we weren't sure how Android would be for accessibility, we made a partnership with Code Factory. I think I might have told you that before, the mobile accessibility apps. And in fact, they were here at CSUN also presenting on their Jelly Bean version they just did.
Yep.
And they added a node editor to it and a file manager that they created. And so we have that option. We can always throw that in right now, so we would run on that. Mm-hmm. At the same time, though, we continue to work with Google. We want to see what they're going to develop to improve the Braille TTY part of Braille Back, and we think that can improve a lot. Google's really putting a lot of effort into the areas. Mm-hmm. So we will certainly do accessible apps that we think are important. As far as I'm concerned, there is not a great editor yet out there.
No.
I don't know if you know that we do at National Braille Press. We have this program, the Touch of Genius Prize. Mm-hmm. If you've heard of that,
but yes. Mm-hmm.
We've done that for a number of years now, and we just got renewed for another 5 years, thanks to the Gibney mm-hmm. Family Foundation. And we're now going to focus on Android apps to support accessibility and education mm-hmm. in the workplace. So I would love to have someone help develop a great word editor that can do a lot of things that everybody wants.
How much is that work? People are not familiar.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's a $20,000 first prize for mm-hmm. for people that come up with a great solution.
And that's an annual contest that you.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Sure.
And sometimes we split it a couple times, but mm-hmm. we often have a single awardee. Okay.
What's the battery life like going to be like?
Well, we're still working on power management. We haven't finished all of it, but. I asked Dean Blasey, who obviously is behind this in a great deal, and we have this weighs 20 ounces, which is still pretty light, but a lot of it's the battery. Mm-hmm. And he thinks maybe once or twice a week is all you need to charge this, but we don't know exactly.
That's
yet.
Definitely taking you back to Braille and Speak days for
yeah,
sure.
I know we've run this 14 hours straight without a problem. No, but
that was definitely one of the things we used to love about the Braille and Speak, is it would just run for ever.
So Dean believes in overkill, I'm sure, with batteries, and we'll know more soon, but we're still doing some final power management.
Sure. So, yeah, obviously developing of an editor, are you looking at other... you have a camera on there, so you're going to try to shoot for OCR?
Yeah, we do. And, it's interesting. While we're developing this, we aren't putting full-time into software right now for apps, but I think using the Touch of Genius platform will help with a lot of those things, and that's what we'd rather drive that with it, and partner with other people to do those.
Sure.
Ideally, as you know, Android is... The good news about Android is it's open source. The bad news, you get a lot of junk that's not accessible. And we want to do a lot of support in those areas to either have people make apps accessible that were already done incorrectly or have new ones developed that are very, very good. And so we'll see.
Right. Yeah. The Android note-taker PDA market, the Braille Plus 18 was released last fall. How does that affect you guys? Is that just is that competition to you, or how do you look at them?
Well, everything's competition. I mean, I think the biggest advantage that I see with this product is it's very robust. It's got lots of internal memory. It's a good processor. Mm-hmm. I think a pretty useful product. Have GPS built in, Bluetooth, Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. It's a full working unit. And if we hope to sell this for no more than $2,500.
Right, which would definitely be the cheapest. This is 20 cells, right?
Right, for 20 cell display.
Right.
And granted, having Jelly Bean, I think, is an advantage because we'll be able to work with the play market and do upgrades easier.
Google is going to let you do that.
Well, we think so. We've had preliminary conversations. We have things to conquer there, but we're cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, this comes up because they've had restrictions before
with the screen and all that.
With not screenless devices.
Exactly.
On Google Play.
Right. So obviously that's not solved yet, but it's an important step that we have to figure out soon. But we're optimistic.
Sure. Then I guess it's as far as the $2,500, that's what you're expecting. What about our release date?
Well, the software's part of it, and we're looking at securing the final funding for production runs, mm-hmm. which obviously is a big nut.
Right.
We are a nonprofit, but right now we're shooting August, December, somewhere in that window we'd have this out for the market. But we'll tighten that up in the next week, a couple months.
Right, sure.
And we'll know more.
You were also here presenting at CSUN about the updates on your full-page rail display project. How's that going?
That's going well. Last year at the July NFB convention, and I would be remiss not to say that the National Federation of the Blind is a partner with the B2G as well. I should say that for your audience. But last year at the NFB convention, we actually demonstrated a 5-row by 40 cells across braille display that we had created. Mike Romeo was the primary engineer on that, who many of your audience probably knows from the Romeo and Bossa days and working with Blazy Engineering and all that. But at that point we did it without a piezo. We're now looking at using nitinol as a new actuation with it, which we're getting all the drawings are done. We're ordering parts right now to assemble a 5-row by 40 cell display that also has a graphic array above that.
Wow.
And which would be 20 lines by 40. The area would be 20 lines of braille, 40 cells across, above the 5 rows of real braille. So we basically take that above area, the graphic array, and concentrate dots very close together to generate line curves and bar charts and those kinds of things.
Wow.
So it's a very preliminary proof of concept prototype. We're excited about it. We want to really prove that nitinol can work.
It seems like we're finally getting to that point, because there's been talk about lowering the price of braille displays for the
last
decade.
Right.
So, I understand people might be skeptical, like, oh, it's just more research.
Gibberish.
Right.
The search for the Holy Grail continues.
How long do you think? A couple years maybe still?
Well, we hope to have this proof of concept prototype by June. And another year or two. The harder part won't be actually the manufacturing, but the software. I mean, interpreting graphics is tricky. What you emphasize, what you de-emphasize. Right. Those are the things where you need some good intelligent software support to help with that. And that's what I think will take more time.
Sure, definitely. Well, that's definitely going to be interesting to follow the developments of this, and of course, we look forward to getting more updates as the summer and fall comes up.
Well, thank you. It was great talking to you again.
How can people get more information about the project or about National Braille Press?
Yeah, well, we can always go to our website, nbp.org, and we have a Center for Braille Innovation section on technologies that gives updates, and we're being much better about giving that current information there. They can always contact me. My email is bmacdonald@nbp.org, and I'd be happy to respond to everybody. And people call me all the time, and I'd be happy to do it that way too. We're here to get the word out, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk to you again.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys. Copyright 2013.